coming up.
And he maintained that he did it while he was asleep, that he was sleepwalking. I didn't really realize what he had done, that he thought it was all some type of dream.
For Vault Studios, I'm Reed Redmond. You're listening to The Daily Crime.
The court's going to call Benjamin David Elliott. Mr. Elliott is charged with the first-degree felony of murder. I do find that there is sufficient probable cause for his case to go forward.
In Harris County, Texas, a 17-year-old has been charged with murder in the death of his twin sister. But he says he was asleep when the alleged crime happened.
Harris County Sheriff's deputies responded to a 911 call shortly before 5 a.m. Inside, they say they found 17-year-old Megan Elliott stabbed multiple times in her bed, a knife on the ground. Her twin brother, Benjamin, was on top of her, performing CPR. But investigators say he is their suspect.
Marcelino Benito joins us from KHOU in Houston, Texas. Marcelino, detectives in Harris County have been trying to figure out what exactly happened in a home near Katy, Texas on Wednesday, September 29th. Take us back to that morning when police respond to this home just before 5 a.m. What happened?
Well, the call came in around 4:15 in the morning. Harris County Sheriff's deputies responded to this scene out in Katy, Texas, a suburb west of Houston. And when they arrived, they found a 17-year-old young man on top of his sister in bed, giving her CPR. And what that call came in as, this young man, Benjamin Elliott, 17 years old, called deputies, called 911, and said he'd stabbed his sister, his twin sister, while she was sleeping, and while he was sleeping as well. So he admitted to doing this, and he blamed it on the fact that he was sleeping or dreaming, as he mentioned in court at the time.
Detectives trying to decipher what happened inside this Katy home early this morning.
Pretty rare that you have, you know, something along these lines where siblings.
And this 17-year-old Benjamin Elliott, he's actually the person who called 911?
Yes, Benjamin called 911 himself. He was the one that spoke with operators. That call came in around 4:15 in the morning, and he admitted on that call to the operator that he had stabbed his sister and that he'd done it while he was sleeping.
And do we know, was anyone else, were there parents in the home when this happened?
Yes, the twins lived with their parents, and we're told by investigators that the parents were home at the time. They were sleeping at the time that all this happened.
They were asleep from what he told us, and they were awakened by him performing CPR and yelling for help.
On the 911 call, we're told by prosecutors, you can actually hear the parents when they are woken up by Benjamin, and you can hear them shouting and sort of distraught, screaming in the background. When they realized what had happened to their daughter.
We, of course, cover a lot of upsetting stories on this podcast. And, you know, what we know about this story so far, it's an unimaginable scene. I know you've spoken to one of the responding officers, Deputy Thomas Gilliland. What did he share with you about what happened after he arrived at the home that day?
Well, investigators told us it's just a very unusual case. They've seen these cases before. But the fact, you don't see very often siblings hurting each other, killing each other, especially in this type of manner. And these weren't just siblings. These were twins. And by all accounts, they were incredibly close.
The siblings are normally very close, and you really have that kind of bond between. But again, people have, you know, things happen.
When deputies arrived, they found Benjamin in his sister's bedroom on top of her. He was performing CPR as he was instructed to do so when he called 911, and it appeared that he was trying to save her life. She unfortunately died a few minutes after EMS arrived that morning. She'd been stabbed twice in the neck, and he was distraught. We're told the parents were distraught. It was just a very grisly and unusual scene.
At this point, do we have any other information about what might have been going on in the house leading up to this the day before or the night before?
That's questions that have been top of mind since we started covering this story. What would motivate Benjamin to do this to his sister, Megan? And those questions are still unanswered. In court, we did learn a little bit more about their relationship. We're told they were incredibly close. The family has said as much in a statement as well. So what we know so far about the relationship between the twins is that they got along. They were described to us as loners who really stuck among themselves on campus at their local high school. They went to Cy Park High School here in the Katy area. And it was just always him and her together. They would always be seen walking home from school together. The neighbor next door told us the day before he'd seen them walk home from school from the bus stop. They were talking normally. They seemed to get along every time they were seen on the sidewalk. One neighbor even told us an anecdote where the brother pulled out an umbrella for his sister when it was raining, just to make sure she wouldn't get wet. And as I mentioned earlier, the family reiterated that via a statement. They haven't given us any interviews, but did release a statement through their attorney and said that they were incredibly close, that Benjamin loved his sister, and they too are trying to come to grips with what may have led to this that morning.
What else did you hear from neighbors when you were out in this neighborhood? How were they reacting to hearing about something so awful happening so close to home?
Well, they were in shock, for one, because, again, it's so unusual that a twin would hurt his fellow sibling. Twins, as you know, are incredibly, usually, very incredibly close to one another. They have that bond more so than, you know, the average sibling. So they were shocked for that reason. And then to know that she died, obviously, and that the fact that they'd seen them so recently, they would see them a lot of times just walking home from school. So they didn't really know them. They said the family kept to themselves. They didn't really speak to the twins, but they did see them interact. A lot of these neighbors have students who went to school with them as well. So they knew who these kids were in terms of seeing them in the neighborhood, seeing their rapport when they were walking down the sidewalk. And it's just, it's a story that sort of sticks with you just for the graphic nature of what Benjamin is accused of doing to Megan, and knowing that he loved her, according to his parents. They were incredibly close, and yet this is how it ended.
And aside from this being incredibly sad, it's also just bizarre. I know there have been other cases where one person has killed another person while sleepwalking, things like that, but it's not something you see often. Are you aware of other cases like this that have happened in the area in recent years?
We did talk in our meetings when this story broke. In recent years, there has been at least one other case that our newsroom recalled where this type of defense was used, or where this explanation was given by the suspect that they were sleeping, or they did it while they were sleepwalking, that they thought it was a dream. So it is something that's been used before. It could be, we spoke to legal analysts, you know, right after the story broke, to see where this might be heading. And we're told this could be laying the foundation for a insanity defense. I can tell you that Benjamin has bonded out. He's no longer in the Harris County Jail, but his parents have opted to admit him to a local hospital that focuses on behavioral and mental health. So while he's out on bond, awaiting trial, his parents have decided not to bring him back home, and he's at this facility north of Houston. But to answer your question, yes, these cases have happened before with this type of explanation, but they're incredibly, incredibly rare.
Benjamin Elliott is 17 years old, as we've mentioned, the same age, of course, as his twin sister, Megan. What charges is he facing, and do we know yet if he's going to be tried as a juvenile or as an adult?
He's been charged with murder, and we do know that he is, in the state of Texas, going to be tried as an adult. Here in Texas, the law is if you're 17 or older, you can be tried as an adult, and prosecutors have decided that that's the route they're going to pursue. So he is facing those murder charges, and if this does go to trial, he will stand trial as an adult.
The offense date is September 29th, 2021. Officers were dispatched to a specific location.
You mentioned that he's now out on bond. Prosecutors walked through some of the facts of the case during a bond hearing the day after the incident occurred. Did we learn any new information through that hearing, or what stuck out to you from that?
Well, we learned about the timeline, which was a little off once we heard Benjamin's side of things from his conversations with investigators. So in that court hearing, we learned more of the specific timeline of what happened that morning.
Officers met with the defendant, conducted a custodial interview. The defendant stated that between 2:30 a.m. and 3 a.m., he woke up in the complainant's bedroom, his twin sister, with a knife inserted in her neck.
According to Benjamin, he told investigators that between 2:30 and 3 that morning, he woke up in his sister's bedroom on top of her, and that when he woke up, he saw a knife jabbed into his sister's neck. At that point, he told investigators that he thought it was all a dream. He quickly realized it was not a dream, it was real life.
The defendant stated after realizing he was not dreaming, he removed the knife, placed it next to the complainant, turned on the light to the bedroom, applied pressure to the wound with a pillow.
He then told investigators that when he realized it was not a dream, he ran back to his room, grabbed a cell phone, and called 911. That's where the timeline gets fuzzy and things get a little bit confusing because the 911 call came in around 4:15 in the morning. Benjamin says he realized he wasn't dreaming and he'd stabbed his sister between 2:30 and 3. So there's that 1 hour gap that really caught my attention that will have to be filled in to see what really happened between that hour. But as soon as that 911 call was ultimately placed by Benjamin, he immediately, per the operator, started following instructions and performing CPR on his sister. In fact, he performed CPR for several minutes before the operator even told him to go wake up your parents. So he was mid-CPR when he was instructed by the operator to shout and wake up his parents so they could come.
The defendant stated he does not suffer any sleep irregularities. He did not consume any narcotics, alcohol, or prescribed medication that would affect his sleep pattern. The officer reviewed the 911 audio recording made by the defendant, learned the defendant identified himself when he contacted 911 at 4:11 a.m., whispering, stating he had killed his sister by stabbing her in the neck.
What's next in this case then, as it moves forward? What's the next date that you're looking ahead to?
He's due back in court at last check sometime in December. Obviously, we're going to have to keep watching what develops in terms of his mental health and what his defense team might put together in terms of that. As I mentioned before, for the moment, which is rare, I believe, I hadn't heard of this in this type of case, but he was able to bond out. His parents bonded him out, but by his parents' own choice, they decided they did not want him to be out on bond at their home. So they have sent him to a facility north of Houston. He's been admitted there, and that's where he is currently as he waits for this legal process to play out. But again, we should get more answers about the trajectory of this case and where it's heading during that next court date sometime in December.
Marcelino Benito with KHOU in Texas. Thanks for sharing this story.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to this episode of The Daily Crime. For the latest on this story and more from Marcelino Benito, you can head over to khou.com. And for more podcasts, you can head over to voltstudios.com or type Volt Studios into whatever podcast app you're listening on right now. That'll do it for this one. Until next time, for Volt Studios, I'm Reed Redmond.